Pastor Duke and I talked October, November, whenever it was, and he was like, "Hey, I'm coming up, Johnny." And I was like, "Dude, what day do you want to come and preach?" And he goes, "I have the 28th open." I go, "Not anymore. It's booked." And so anytime I can get Pastor Duke in here and speak, it's a blessing. Amen. And then I come up here and I'm like, so I come up here and I went, "Where's Joellen?" Joellen is his wife. Joellen, stand up just stand up. Give her a hand. Yes, because she's got to put up with him. And I went, "Why isn't Joellen up front?" And he's like, "Well, you know, I only spit two rows back, so she figured four was safe." Dude, I don't know why. I think because Jesus said, "I have to love you." For those of you who don't know, if you ever listen to my podcast, or Pastor Duke's, we did a podcast for almost 5 years before you went evil and moved south. And then, Pastor Duke used to pastor in Half Moon, and he started a church there 45 years ago. And it's still going strong today. And then he retired and moved to South Carolina. And I would just tell you this, I don't know why South Carolina, there's nothing good in South Carolina. So at any rate, no, they moved to South Carolina, came home for Christmas, and man, Pastor Duke and I, we go all the way back. He has been here, and he has helped participate in the growth of Connecting Point Church, and he has been my friend and has heard many heartbreaking moments over the years as the pastorate and this church was growing. And he has just always been a good friend. And so it is absolutely my honor to introduce to you Pastor Duke Herget.
Give me some love there, brother. Appreciate you. This is like home away from home for Joel and I. Johnny and I go back a ways, and I've kept him out of jail. He's kept me out of jail. And the everlasting life. How cool is that? Wow. It's the last Lord's Day of 2025. Been an amazing year, hasn't it? And as we kind of the human side of the holidays, you know, we celebrate the incarnation, and as we close out the year, we kind of reflect. Old men reflect, young men dream. Johnny's still dreaming, but may my reflections throw gasoline on your sparks. Old men reflect, and we also project into this next year. I think that's good. Especially in the Lord, because in the Lord, we have extreme potential. He's big. He's good. And he loves us. And so I look into this future, the year. You know, my son, one of the phrases he throws in my face a lot, "Dad, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got." And so we're looking at this next year. And I've been looking at next year, you know, for, you know, like 72 years now. So this is, I've been doing this for a while. And I have enjoyed Jesus this past year. But I'm looking at 2026. It's a very important year. The Bible says this is the day which the Lord has made. Would 2026 not be the year that our Lord has made? It's a big year. And it's a very important year. For some of us in this room, this could be our last year. There's a good possibility that in a crowd this size, that 1 year from today, somebody will be dead that's in this room right now. for me, if it is, that's cool. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Heaven doesn't scare me too much anymore. But I tell you what, my time to count while I'm here. If we have Christ, we have eternal life. We're going to get a new body one day. The older we get, the more exciting that gets. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the eternal Word of God. We've been endued with power as the Holy Spirit has come upon us to translate us into the image of His dear Son, to impart unto us a divine nature that He's transforming us into little representatives of Jesus, ambassadors for Christ. 2020 could be some of us our last year. All of us could be our last year. This could be the year Jesus comes. The nations are aligned. And I like to keep my eye on that. The hardware is here, the software is here. I think AI is a really big deal. Revelation 13, the image of the beast speaks. What's that all about? I read that in 1972, and it sounded like Star Trek to me. I think it's AI. Universal digital identification. Kind of sounds like Revelation 13, doesn't it? Without it, you can't buy, you can't sell. I mean, this could be our last year. That's fantastic if it is. But I want to take you to the Gospel of John today, chapter 1. Pastor John asked me a dumb question earlier. He said, do you have any notes? What are those? If I did, I could be a noted preacher, but I guess not. We're in John chapter 1. It's early in the ministry of Jesus. He's forming a team. You know what Jesus is doing today at Connecting Point Church? Same thing He was doing then. He's forming a team. He's called you to be teammates. He's forming a team. It's early in the ministry of Jesus. He's going to find a couple of His disciples here. Jesus is discipling His disciples. He hasn't changed. That's what He's doing today. We could call their names Nathaniel, Peter, James, John, Bartholomew. Call your name. Same Jesus. Same commission. Same death, burial, resurrection. They were waiting for it. We've already got it. We got more than they had. To them, it was a promise. To us, it's a done deal. He's going to be discipling the disciples. I want you to watch this today. They're Jewish boys from the Galilee. That's the wrong side of the tracks. It's kind of like East Greenbush. East side of the river. Wrong side of the river, amen? I think you have stronger demons on this side of the river. It's been harder for the gospel to take root on the east side of the Hudson River. But y'all are kind of smacking the devil's face, preaching Jesus on the east side. And so they're Jews. They're an occupied territory. The Romans occupy. Taxes are high. Morale is low. Job opportunities are not good. It's not a good time. But they had the promise of a Redeemer, a Savior. There had been false messiahs. They had their hopes raised and dashed upon the rocks of reality. It wasn't a good time. And then something stirred. A while back, this old priest, his wife got pregnant, and they had a little baby. And that baby grew up to be John the Baptist. And soon after that, there was a strange birth in Bethlehem of Judea, and wise men came from the east, and King Herod heard there was one born king of the Jew, and he attacked the babies. And then not much came of that. And 12 years later, there was this boy, 12-year-old boy from Nazareth came down and confounding the scholars with his wisdom. What's up with that? But nothing came of that either. And then 18 years later came the son of that old priest, too old to have kids, but had a kid anyway. That boy was John the Baptist. And they heard John the Baptist preach, and something happened in their hearts when they heard John the Baptist preach. He was so powerful, a lot of people thought he could be the Messiah. He said, oh no, there's one coming after me whose shoelaces I'm not worthy to tie. I baptize you in water. He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, John wasn't kidding. Here comes Jesus. And their hope is soaring. You know, my hope doesn't soar when I listen to the news. My hope doesn't soar when I look at the platform of the Democratic Party. And my heart doesn't soar when I look at a lot of the pathetic Republican representatives. I just don't get, I don't get my buzz from politics. But when I read the Holy Bible, oh my goodness, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. When I see a cloud, I realize Jesus is going to step off of one of these clouds one day soon. I'm ready to go. We're on the winning team. And so there was a spark. And I want to pick up in John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said to them, follow me. And Philip said, the city of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, said unto him, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets spoke, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come on, man. Leave this religious stuff alone. We got enough problems without dragging religion into it. Something happened when Philip met Jesus. I love your story, Pastor John. Something happened to John Westfall when he found Jesus. The man was delivered from drugs, alcohol, and all that goes with that. And St. Sherry hung in there for a long time for this dude. Nathanael is reluctant. I want to ask you this question as we continue into this drama. Why do some people get to see Jesus do so much? And other people, they don't seem to see him do anything at all. Why is that? Why some people are so fired up and other people, why is that? Well, let me tell you, Philip was fired up. And Nathanael's reluctant. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, verse 47, and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael is kind of taken back by this. He meets Jesus, who already seems to have prior knowledge. This guy knows quite a bit about me. Oh, Philip told him. Philip told him. Philip, that's how he is. He can't keep his mouth shut. But Philip didn't tell him that. He is experiencing the omniscience of God. What are the attributes? God knows everything. Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Amen. He's experiencing the omniscience of God, and it kind of freaks him out in a good way. And Nathanael said to him, verse 40, how do you know me? Jesus answered, said unto him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And we would say back in my day, in my vernacular, busted! Jesus didn't know something about him. Jesus knew everything about him. That's really cool if you're seeking. That's really scary if you're not. Doesn't matter who you are. He knows everything about you. And look at Nathanael's response. I hope this is on DVD. I want to watch this. I want to see Jesus's face. I want to see his face. I want to see Nathanael. Verse 49, Nathanael answered, said to him, Rabbi, you're the son of God. You're the king of Israel. He connects the dots. John the Baptist said he'd come. And this has got to be him. Just like Philip said, I didn't even want to come. And I came and he knows all about me. He's moved. That is so cool to be moved by God. People totally freak out when we're moved by God. Well, Johnny will get over that. He's having a little religious experience over here. You don't ever get over Jesus, do you? When I look at this, it seems to me it took so little to move him so much. I want to be like that. I want Jesus to whisper my name, and I report to duty right now. Let's go. What do you got for me, Jesus? Amen? That's the kind of guy I want to be. And I think Jesus is smiling. So he learned as a child, going to synagogue and all that stuff. And he gets it. The Redeemer is here, right there. Jesus of Nazareth. Whoa! That same Jesus, spiritually, is in this room today. He's no less powerful now than he was. It's the same plan now as he had then. And Jesus said, verse 50, because I said unto you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? Yeah, that's a miracle. And I'm going to paraphrase the next phrase. Jesus said, you ain't seen nothing yet, dude. Actually, he said, you will see greater things than these. I think that's in our hearts this morning, isn't it? Joel and I could go for hours and tell you the stories of the things we have seen Jesus do. What a journey it's been. But you know what? I'm addicted. I want to see him do more. Finish with me yet. I want to see greater things than these. 2026 is coming. You want to see greater things than these? Let this sink in. Jesus wants you to see greater things than these. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus wants you to experience greater things than these. That makes me happy. I get excited about that. You ain't seen nothing yet. So, this is going to require something of them. If Nathanael's going to see greater things than these, it's going to require something of him. If you're going to see greater things than these, it's going to require something of you. Jesus is leaving town maybe 4 o'clock. I'm talking literally, actually, in the text. If Nathanael is going to see Jesus do greater things than these, that means Nathanael is going to have to leave town about 4 o'clock too. You getting it? He has to decide to follow Jesus. Now, you and I don't have to leave home, leave our job. We can stay right where we are and follow Jesus. But for him, he had to let go and let God. He had to trust God for everything. And people probably tell him, don't do it, man. What's the pay scale? How many weeks vacation do you get? Get health insurance with that? What are the hours? When are you coming home? The answer was, I don't know. 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 The Bible says the just shall live by faith. We have to learn to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledging him. and he'll direct your path. Remember meeting Pastor John, first a phone call, then it came up. So but right New Year's Eve, wasn't it? What year? 06. We spent the whole day driving around. He had the two best behaved daughters I ever met in my life. And I watched the Spirit of God move upon him and Miss Sherry that day. In fact, I had like 50 people call me while I was pastoring. Pastor Duke, preachers call me. I want to come to New York and start a church. I want to come to Capital District, start a church. I had 50 people call. Three came. Wayne Fiedler, Clyde McCaskill, and you. And there's churches for all three of those. Berean, Hoosick Valley, and Connecting Point. Most of them would just talk. It's one thing, Pastor John does not just talk. He puts the pedal to the metal. And so he decides to follow Jesus. Greater things than these, you'll see. Cool. I'm in. He follows Jesus. First day, now you get to chapter 2, John 2, chapter 2, verse 1. The third day, there was a marriage of Cain of Galilee. I'm just going to tell the story for time's sake. First day, where are we going to sleep? Don't know, but they slept somewhere. What are we going to eat? Don't know, but they ate something. First day, no more miracles. Second day, no miracles at all. Third day, I think maybe had some doubts along the way. Well, you said greater things than these. I'll say, I didn't see anything great. And we don't even know where we're going to eat, where we're going to sleep. What? So, hey, wedding feast, that's cool. At least the groceries will be good today. And so they go to the wedding feast. And a little crisis arises. They ran out of wine. And Mary says to the disciples, boy, they're in the rod. All they know is he's the Redeemer. John said he'd come, and here he is, and we're in. Oh, boy, he's got some stuff up his sleeve. Johnny, that day and New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, 06, God had stuff up his sleeve. You knew he did. You didn't know how tough it would be. I told you. You didn't listen to me. Johnny and I learn things the hard way, don't we? God has stuff up his sleeve for us. 2026. I believe that with all my heart. They ran out of wine? They should have prepared better. Then Mary says, whatever Jesus says, do it. That's good preaching, Mary. That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Just do what Jesus said. Yeah, but I don't understand. Just do it. What if it doesn't work? It will work out. But it's not easy. Did he ever say it would be easy? I'll be with you. Just shut up and do it. Go and fill the water pots with wine. I didn't sign up for that, Pastor John. I'm a wedding guest. I don't have to. Why should I have to do the work? It's not fair. Shut up and just do what he said. Amen. Shut up and do what Jesus said. Come to the altar, surrender, we can go home, live happily ever after. So, okay, we'll do it. These are not 2-liter bottles. These are big, heavy things. You know, I'd want a 2-wheel dolly to move if I had to. They take it down. I've been to that well in Nazareth. They filled it up and they bring it back. They put it before the feast. You know the story. And the guy says, well, normally you serve the best wine first and the worst wine later. But you've saved the best wine till now. And Nathaniel's like, dude, what are you talking about? That is not wine. That is water. I know because I put it in there. That is water. The guy, oh, this is really good. And then he looks at Jesus. Jesus smiles. And Nathaniel's like, what? Goes over, takes a thing, dips it in, tastes it. It ain't water. It's wine, just like the guy said. And then he looks at Jesus. Jesus says, he gets the Jesus heebie-jeebies. You ever get the Jesus heebie-jeebies? What he just did, what he said he'd do, and you're overwhelmed. we were all worried about getting a house. Our house is up for sale. We're going to be homeless and we got to move. And how we sell our house and prices are here. Houses are selling 15 minutes. And how are we going to get a house? Where are we going to live? And then Jesus looked at me and said, shut up, Duke. I love Joel more than you do. And then, man, what a story. He showed up, gave us the perfect house at the great price. And it all came together. Why do we worry like we do? Where are we, stupid or what? Help us, Jesus. Now he witnessed the omnipotence of God. He's 3 days ago, he witnessed the omniscience of God. He knows everything. Now he experiences the omnipotence of God. God can do everything. Greater things than these, you'll see. I was a little disappointed a couple weeks ago. I had my hopes all up that you guys are going to be out of this place into physically into a different building. But I know the scriptures better than I even know Pastor John. God gives a vision. Moses, I'm going to lead the people out. And I have the birth, and I'm Pharaoh's son. I got the credentials. I got the press. I got the money. I got the connections. I'm going to lead Israel from slavery. And he gave it everything. And he failed, age 40. Vision, death of a vision. In God's time, supernatural resurrection of the vision. That's how God rolls. I'm really excited about 2026, what's going to happen around here. That old death of vision thing, that hurts. Human, we get, you know, we're human side of things. We get pumped up. We're trusting God. We want, and then, but God's like, hey, did you forget I'm the boss here? You think I'm not big? You think I don't own the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills beneath the cattle? Just trust me. Just trust me. So he's following Jesus. Gets into John chapter 3. Jesus is discipling these guys. They're hillbillies from Nazareth, from the Galilee. They ain't nobody. They got no education. They not sat at the feet of Gamaliel like the Apostle Paul did. They're fishermen. They're country boys. They're blue collar guys. I don't know if half of them even could read, but they could connect the God dots, and they're in. That's all that counts. So John chapter 3, they're in Jerusalem for the Passover. That's cool. Places pack at night. They're probably in Gethsemane. Can't prove this, but probably Gethsemane. I was just in Gethsemane about 10 days ago. It's same olive trees are still there today. It's pretty cool. And Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, member of the Sanhedrin, he comes. Big guy. Lots of money. Could maybe pay our way for 6 months or so. Nicodemus comes. The disciples are watching Jesus, how he handles Nicodemus. You know how Jesus handled Nicodemus? Exactly the same way he handled fishermen. He doesn't play those social games. Doesn't play the race games. He's the same yesterday, today, for he loves everybody. Nicodemus was not a big shot to Jesus. And he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Jesus gives Nicodemus John 3:16 live in Gethsemane. Maybe, not quite sure, but I think so. But it wasn't enough. John 3:16 live from Jesus in Gethsemane was not enough for Nicodemus to get saved. I'll think about it. And he leaves. He comes in seeking, lost, leaves. I think he's a little bit angry at Jesus. Disappointed, angry. Did not make a commitment. He did later, thankfully. The disciples are watching. Jesus is discipling them. The disciples probably think, boy, Jesus really blew it with Nicodemus. Jesus never blows it, folks. But it seemed that way to them. Boy, should have been taking it easier on this dude, you know? He went right for the juggler. You're a ruler of the Jews. You don't know these things? Now we get to chapter 4. They're not happy. Bad day. Jesus said, we're going through Samaria. What? Samaritans are half-breeds. They intermarried with the Canaanites. We will walk around Samaria. A direct flight's like 50 miles to go around is like 90 miles. Jesus said, no, we're going through Samaria. He's taking them outside of their comfort zone. Well, I would never allow Jesus to do that for me. Okay. You'll not see greater things than these then. You got all you're going to get. But if you follow Jesus, he'll probably take you outside your comfort zone. That's where the biggest God stuff happens. Outside your comfort zone. It was about 5 degrees a day we drove around East Greenbush, as I recall. It was about a day just about like this. And he came anyway. I did everything I could to discourage him not to come. Not really. So John chapter 4, we're going through Samaria. All right. But I'm not going to talk to anybody. So they go in. They're just outside the village. They're outside the walls. There's a well. They're watching. There's a woman. The good woman would come out to get the water in the morning when it was cool. This is midday, heat of the day. The attire of a harlot. Woman at the well. She was a harlot. And the disciples are like, I ain't talking to her. Jesus says, I'm talking to her. He's on the bottom of the social calendar now. Yesterday, Nicodemus, I was at the top. Not much happened. Now he's at the bottom. Disciples, we'll go get the food. Jesus is there with her. They chat. She's shocked. Jesus is friendly. You're a Jew. Why would you be friendly with me? And you're a good man. And, you know, I mean, it's the middle of the day. Why would you be friendly to me? Why would you be kind to me? And he said, you know, I have water to drink that you know not of. Whoever drinks my water will never thirst again. And he's kind of going from social to spiritual. He's already kind of won her heart because he's kind to her. He's not hitting on her. He's respectful of her, even though she's a woman of low class. And she's comfortable with him. He's no threat. He's kind. He's warm. He's engaging. Oh, give me this to drink. And then they start talking spiritual talk. She said, well, we know that Messiah will come. The Samaritans were kind of half Jewish and half pagans. We know that the Messiah will come. And Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, King of the universe, reveals himself as Messiah first to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She's thrilled. The disciples come back with the food. And she's all, when they left, she's like, just getting the water, you know. And then when they come back, she's got a twinkle in her eye, got a skip in her step, got some wind in her sail. She's coming back to town to tell people, I found him of whom the prophet spoke. Yeah! And the disciples are like, they're uncomfortable. And Jesus speaks to them. This will be my last verse and a couple stories. I will send you home to think about it. So the disciples are watching her get saved, transformed, happy, thrilled, loved unconditionally. And the disciples are being discipled by Jesus himself. Okay, just keep that in mind. Jesus is discipling you and I right now through his word, preparing us for 2026. And he says, greater things than these you can see. He's got it up his sleeve. He's got some plans. They probably won't be easy. They'll probably take you out of your comfort zone. But look what he says. They're watching all this and they're not quite getting it. They're uncomfortable. She's thrilled. Notice what he says now to them. They brought the physical food. He said, I have bread to eat. I have meat to eat. that you know not of. Man, that's the best bread. Pastor John was just whispering me during the worship time. Someone on the platform just gave their heart to Jesus just this past year. Oh, that's a good bread, John. That's why we came to New York. So people would find Jesus. Not many wise, not many noble are called, but we're willing. I came in 78, he came in 06. We came. I remember the day I got a bite of bread. They're already following Jesus. But this is a big day. Yesterday, top of the social order, no fruit. Today, bottom of the social order, fruit. They go in town. Jesus said, we're going to stay here a couple more days. Oh, no. Oh, yes. And half the town got saved. I just think what God could do at Connecting Point this year. You know, a lot of young people are turning to Jesus. There's just no hope anywhere else. Why wouldn't they turn to Jesus? You've had a great year last year. This year's, I think, is just going to be off the charts. You'll be filling every seat, getting a new place or doing two services, however God's just going to continue his work here. I want to tell you a couple stories. I want to tell you the day I got my bite of bread. I received Jesus as my Savior June 18th, 1972, jumped into church, got baptized a month later, joined the church, serving the Lord. Every time the doors are open, I'm there, I'm serving Jesus. But I'd not really yet gotten a bite of bread. I didn't really. And I remember one day I'd been asked to speak or be part of the bus ministry. I showed up as a bus captain, and there was supposed to be six of us show up that day, and they're going to teach me how to visit. So I showed up. Nobody else showed up. I'm there by myself. I'm the new kid on the block, Pastor John. This is my leader. He doesn't show up. I'm having a bad church experience. Somebody said they're going to do something, and they didn't. So I'm going to quit Jesus because hey, don't be stupid because other people are stupid. Amen? Amen. Don't let people mess you up about God. Let God straighten you out about people. And I'm ready to just go home. And Jesus, and he said, you got the clipboard. You know where all these kids live. Go visit them. Okay. So I went by myself and I visited those bus kids. I kind of liked it. They all looked up to me. Hey, Brother Duke. They call me Brother Duke. Brother Duke, you know, I'm the man now, you know, we call these bus kids. I enjoyed it. And by about noon, I visited all by myself. I visited all my bus kids. They love me. Pick them up tomorrow. We have some visitors. We have a record day on our bus. That's cool. I'm ready to go home. God said to me, not audibly, what about the other bus route? I love the other bus kids too. You think I love your bus kids more than I love the other bus kids? I love all the bus kids. I said, I know that. You love everybody. He said, why don't you go visit them? You got anything better to do than serve me? But it's not my route. I'm all by myself. I don't want to. Okay, go ahead, be an idiot. Okay, I'll go. So I went and visited the other bus route all by myself. Had a blast. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. I got to preach at 6 o'clock. It was like the second time I ever preached. I don't know how to preach. I need to study. 4:30, my last visit. I go to the door, and the screen is open, or the screen door is shut. The door is open. I can see, and it's summer. There's a little girl that I went to visit on the phone crying. She saw me. I knocked her. So I go into this house. And she hands me the phone. It's my aunt. She's going to kill herself. I'm a 19-year-old kid. I just got off marijuana 6 months ago. I don't have a lot of, I'm not a crisis hotline. Okay? My dad's a bartender. I don't have a lot of experience in counseling. I'm going to kill my, she had a gun in her hand. I'm like, don't kill yourself. That's good counsel. Amen. Don't kill yourself. You'll go straight to hell. Don't do that. You need to get saved. And she said, come over right now. And so I went over. I took this little girl, like 10, in my car and drove to her house. The niece knew where she lived. I would go to prison for that today. But I went over to her house. She had the gun to her head when we walked in. Don't shoot, don't shoot. And I said, you know, I'm an old hippie, and Jesus saved me, and he can save you, and don't kill yourself. You don't want to go to hell. She put the gun down. I grabbed the gun. I took the bullets out of the gun, put them in my pocket, and I didn't know. I knew three verses in the Bible. I quoted them all five times. I told her she needed to be saved. She started crying. This is like an hour later. She got on her knees, asked Jesus to come into her heart and save her. I never led anybody to Christ before. It was fun. Now, I didn't eat that day. For a Baptist, that's a big deal. I am like super Christian. I visited both bus routes all by myself. I led my first person to Jesus. And I realized, oh no, I got to go preach. I was not prepared. I went, we had a campfire, Jack Carr's house. Joel knows these people well. There's like 60 young people, high school, college. There's a campfire, so I preach on hell. You don't want to go to hell. It's hotter than that campfire. Don't go to hell. Why would you go to hell? You could go to heaven. That's a no-brainer, right? Heaven or hell, choose heaven, right? Jesus is Savior, forgive you all your sins, come in your heart, save you, give strength to be a brand new person, start out all over again, clean slate. Why wouldn't you want to give your heart to God? And so I preached. And two girls, Chris and Jackson and Terry, her sister, older sister, had tears coming down their face, and they got saved. Three people got saved that day. And then afterwards, we had hot dogs. I think I ate 11 hot dogs. I was thankful for every one of them. I remember driving home that night, 11 o'clock at night. The woman got saved. Next day, she's on the bus. She became my new bus. She took my place as bus captain on the bus, on the other bus route. She went on for God, got her life together. God saved her. Terry Jackson became a missionary to Italy. I'm the kid out behind the barn smoking weed, you know? And now I'm a servant of Jesus. You know what happened that day? I got a bite of bread. Remember when you got your first bite, Brother John? It's stronger than crack. Addicted. I love seeing people get saved. One more story and we'll go home. This pretty blonde girl up here on the 5th row. Catholic girl, Italian, Detroit, beautiful. I married up. Why wouldn't you? I preached at Liberty University years ago, convocation. Beautiful women will marry ugly men if we get close enough to God.
Amen.
I knew I was going to get amen from you, bro. Why wouldn't you? God wants me to marry a beautiful woman? Cool. I can handle it. She's a suburban girl, college girl. She got saved and she started attending Temple Baptist in Detroit. And we met at a prayer meeting. I could go tell this whole story, but we met at a prayer meeting and she was on fire. She had hung out with the most spiritually committed people in the whole church. She was on fire and we met and I had sparks flying immediately. Took her a while. And one day I picked her up. We had this big event where the church took like 800 children to Boblo Island. It was like a great escape thing. Is that still open here? Great Escape at Glens Falls. It was a theme park. So I picked her up like at 7:30 in the morning, went to the church, drove the bus, picked up a whole busload of kids. And then we drove them to Boblo Island. We got to Boblo Island about 10. We stayed till about 5:30, got the kids on the bus, went back to the church, took all the kids home, came back to the church. It's about 8 o'clock now at night. And the whole day we were together and I was sharing my heart with her. And at the got back to the church and there were 8 kids that they couldn't find a home for them. We got to get these kids home. They don't know where they live. How am I supposed to know where they live? They don't know where they live. But I volunteered to take them home anyway. we knew they what region they were in. So we went down. Yeah, I know. Turn right here. Turn there. We got them home like 9:30. I think we did. So that's like 9:30. Picked her up at 7:30. It's 9:30, 14 hours later. And I thought about this guy we just led, Lord Danny Johnson. He'd just gotten out of prison. He had gotten saved. I was knocked on the door. It's a long story. And I thought, let's go visit Danny Johnson. Worst neighborhood in Detroit. I mean, you're talking inner city. We drove down there in the church van, Temple Baptist Church van. We pull up. It's like 11 o'clock at night now. We're down on Livernois Avenue. And I was preaching this in a church, a guy, I grew up on Livernois in our church in South Carolina. It's crazy. And Danny Johnson, we have a big drug party, and he was on the outside because if he goes inside and the cops come, he's going to go back to prison for like 20 years. And he had gotten saved, and we pulled up. He was thrilled to see us. Oh, man, this is fantastic. Just to kind of help him, you know, not to go back to prison. And he was going to come to church the next day, and he went on, got baptized and lived for God. But Danny Johnson, and so we're there sitting in the church van. It's like 11 o'clock at night, worst neighborhood in Detroit. All of a sudden, a motorcycle goes flying around the corner, and bang, 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 gun shooting, guy in the bike shooting this way, a guy in the back of the bike shooting that way, and a cop's coming shooting this way, guns, cops, you know, squealing tires and running into an accident here, and gunshot, bang, bang, bang. Danny drops to the ground. Joanne and I fall on the floor in the butt, and I'm covering her. I don't want her to get shot, you know. I'm laying on top of her. I'll take the bullet for her, and then we start. And then the bullet stopped and the lights are flashing. And I whispered to Joanne, I'm so sorry I got you into this mess. And she said, oh, it's okay. She said, I've never felt so close to God in all my life. You know what happened that day, that night? She got a bite of bread. She's been at my side ever since. We've seen God do pretty cool stuff. And I'd do it all over again. And Jesus is the same Jesus today. He hasn't changed a lick. Same commission, same lost people. I think they're all Samaritans around here. I think we're living in, it's either Sodom or Samaria or all together. And Jesus goes up and down the aisles today. He said, you like what you see me do? Yeah. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Greater things than these you'll do. Greater things than these. Have you had a bite of bread? I want you to have more bread. Have you had a bite of bread? We just went the second mile, just gave it all to Jesus. Got crazy wild for him. Just served and served and served until there was nothing left. And then all of a sudden you got a bite of that bread. Changes everything. You'll live for it then. Serving is a privilege, not an obligation. You serve with all your heart. And so I don't know what God's got up his sleeve, but it's awesome. I look back on my life, and I have to tell you, Pastor John, he did more than I ever guessed he would. Knowing him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And I'm excited about 2026. Man, he was good in 2025. It's going to be better in 2026. I didn't say easier, but it'd be better. There's probably some people that aren't here yet. If I come back next Christmas time, there'll be people here or wherever you're meeting that aren't here now because we've gotten a bite of bread. We share our faith with people. We're like, come visit our church. You were invited. Come visit our church. And you're thrilled that you did. So we'll just be faithful Christian people. Keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our hand on the plow. And love people unconditionally. And when your bus captain doesn't show up, instead of getting mad at him and quitting the church because somebody's stupid, just don't be stupid. Just learn from that. Don't let people mess you up about God. Let God straighten you out about people. And so I don't know what he's got up his sleeve, but I let it be pretty groovy. Do you people understand that word, groovy? Might have to explain it to the young people. Groovy. Be awesome. But we go right back to where we started with Nathaniel. Come and see. And in a moment, I'm going to come up and I'm going to bow at your little extended altar here. It came out a little bit closer this way. I'm going to ask Joanne to come up. I'm going to rededicate my life for 2026. I want God to have something better for me in 2026. I just want more bread. I just want more bread. I want to be yielded to Jesus. I want to forgive anybody that does me wrong. Why would you want to carry that? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Somebody did you wrong, and why, just drop it. Take it to Jesus. Leave it there. Ask him to take it from you. Don't let that hold you back. Just launch into this new year completely forgiven, completely surrendered, and excited about what he may have up his sleeve. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor John, why don't you come and close out the service and do your invitation the way your people are accustomed to do that. Joanne, would you come on up with me? And her and I are going to pray. I'm going to turn off this microphone so you can't hear my prayer, okay? Take over, Pastor John.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask that you would move in the hearts of each and every one of us this morning. Father, that we would look to you, Lord, that if there's anything going on inside of us, we would fix it with you, Father, and not allow the world or others, Father, to bother us. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that you would do an amazing thing in the heart of each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel moved of God to come up here and pray and recommit your life to God, or commit your life to God, or you got something going on inside of you right now, you've allowed other people to dictate your direction. You've allowed other people to dictate your godliness and your holiness. Or you have been struggling with the Lord and the things of God. And you want to come up here, then come up here. If I could, Keith, Lauren, if you'll come up here. If you want someone to pray with you, Buck, Brenda, if you'll come up here. If you want someone to pray with you, these guys will pray with you. Whatever that looks like. You know, one of the things that I asked Pastor Duke to do was to challenge us for 2026, to help us to understand, you know, we have separated ourselves long enough, or we have taken a back seat, or we claim Jesus, but we don't live like Jesus is our God. We just have Jesus as a verbal acknowledgement, but no lifestyle. And my prayer is that in 2026, you'll make God a priority. You'll make Jesus a priority. You'll make church a priority. You'll make loving on one another a priority. You'll make forgiveness a priority. You will make all these things that we need if we're going to be successful in our walk with Jesus a priority. And so if you wish to come up here, if you wish to pray with someone, we invite you to do that now. And if the altar gets full because it's not big, then just come forward and stand where you are and pray. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, then I invite you to come and do that. And here's what it looks like. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, not up here, but here with the heart. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Jesus Christ so that you're born again, then I want you to come up here and definitely talk to one of us to give your life to Jesus, okay? And so I want everyone